So our topic today is speaking authentically from the heart. And I wanted to share a little bit about the research that's been done by the group called HeartMath. Have any of you heard about HeartMath? Some of you have. It's an institute in California that's mission is to study the physiological effects of heart-based emotions on the physical body. And what they say is that if you begin to tune into the intelligence of the heart, that you access a whole nother realm of intelligence beyond, beyond the intelligence of the mind. That our hearts are infinitely expansive and intuitive because they connect to the bigger, broader aspect of self. That our minds tend to focus locally from a critical perspective. Our hearts tend to open to the intuitive and the expansive idea. And that they say literally, if you just touch your heart with intention when you want to connect to that higher energy, that you can train yourself to think more expansively. That the mind intelligence tends to be limited to what you came in with. And most people, their IQ doesn't change throughout their life unless they are they have a brain injury or something. But that heart intelligence continues to grow through life and through wisdom as you access the intelligence of the heart. And when you feel like you're accessing the intelligence of the heart, you feel the things that they call heart-based emotions, like love and appreciation and gratitude and caring and thanksgiving and joy. So those are evidence in their scientific studies of being in the heart. And they say that there are very powerful and distinct physiological changes that happen in the body as you access heart-based emotions more and more in your life. And I've researched this idea of heart-based emotions through several different scientists and philosophers and people who've done different works. And there's a doctor and a philosopher named David Hawkins, who wrote a book called Power Versus Force, where he describes the map of human consciousness from 10 on the scale of 1,000, which is shame and guilt and not enough energy to really sustain life, through fear and anger into courage and willingness, which to him is the difference between what he calls the catabolic effects of an adrenaline-based metabolism below 200 on the scale into a chemically neutral part of consciousness where your neuroreceptors and your neurotransmitters become more active and more sensitive, so you become more perceptive from willingness and acceptance and allowing into understanding and then love. And then an anabolic aspect of chemicals that actually build and enhance the health of the body as you get into more and more love, kindness, joy, oneness, and the appreciation of higher consciousness, which are endorphin-based metabolism. So the physiology of the body changes depending on the emotions that you're experiencing in the moment. And over time, if you spend more time in the heart-based emotions, the body moves toward that anabolic, chemically positive state within the body, and then the brain development begins to change. And the physiology of the brain changes, the forebrain begins to develop at any point in life. And until they started doing the study, they thought that most of the brain development ended when you were in your teens and early 20s. But what they discovered when they started studying people who had an endorphin-based metabolism is that their forebrains developed throughout their lives, and that more and more they had the capacity for whole brain thinking, holistic thinking, solution-oriented thinking, and expansive capacity to vision and see the end outcome that would then draw them forward to action, rather than trying to choose goals from a thoughtful perspective and push toward them. So the idea of heart-based emotions having the opportunity to change the way you think and change your capacity to think physiologically and chemically really fascinates me. I just love this idea that we have this unlimited potential if we find this way of loving our lives and appreciating the things that are around us. We become more capable of love. We become more capable of bringing positive solutions to life. And that is very inspiring to me.
Kind of interesting in that we have a choice. We can either choose that or we can choose to go to the other. We can go one extreme or the other. Not extreme, but we can go one direction or the other direction. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy type thing of...
Absolutely. Yeah. The physiology of our body will shift depending on our choices of thought. And that's pretty exciting to me. I brought a quote from the Caribbean cruise that I went on with Abraham Hicks. And this isn't a direct quote. This is from my notes. I didn't transcribe what they actually said. This is what I wrote down as I was listening to them speak. So it is not exactly a word-for-word quotation. But it is the impression of what they said. They were talking to a woman who was asking for advice about how to become more self-loving. And they talked to her at length about this, and this was just the end of the quote. Hi, Ernestine. It's okay. Glad to see you. Hi. Nice to see you again. Nope, you are.
Oh, I am. Okay. I like the little corner thing feature in it.
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. I don't like banging my knees on
it could be nerve wracking.
It hurts.
One of those things that I don't like to hurt.
Yeah. So we're being sensitive to your knees to put you in between the two tables.
It's not a black thing, right?
If you're going to take it personally, you can go see it.
The cream
for you and everything. Yes. I do have to tell you, you are now being recorded.
We said last time we met you.
Yes.
We can get sober without alcohol.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Hi, I'm Rob. We know each other. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
That's okay. Thank you. Right. I appreciate permission. This is a quote from Abraham Hicks that came from my notes, not a verbatim quote. They said, love this rug and these flowers and this fresh air and this ship and your dinner and this hair clip and spend time watching how flexible your fingers are. Tune yourself to the easy and obvious things to love and appreciate. Tune into things moment after moment that are easiest to love. The hardest one to love is the reflection in the mirror. Look at yourself with the intent to see your inner being in there. Gaze until you feel that awareness of me in there. Stop seeking self of love and start noticing that it's love that is self. Think of it as loving me versus being the me who loves. Rampage appreciation. It's easy to love that one and 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 that one. The focal point of your love doesn't matter. It could be that one or that one or that one or that one. If you are enjoying eating this meal, it doesn't matter that you're not simultaneously eating the one over there. When you are flowing love randomly, that is who you are. Acknowledge it and demand it of yourself. Look for it everywhere you go. It's love that is self. It's love that is self. It's love that is self. Ah. And so today we're going to practice the love that is self. We're going to practice loving and speaking authentically from the heart, the appreciation that we have for life. A few weeks ago, the last time I led this group, we did a gratitude circle. And everybody was having such a good time and feeling so excited about it. We continued for the whole first half of this section. Perhaps we'll do that again today. I'm not sure. But I brought an exercise on how to tune into your heart. And I have a worksheet for us to begin from. There's some questions on here. And they start out with, number one, here's some things I love to do by myself. I think there's enough for
everyone. You think?
There were 15, so... here's some things I love to do with others. Here's some things I love to see. Here's some things I love to touch. Here's some things I love to smell. Here's some things I love to taste. Here's some things I love to hear. Here's some things I love having in my life. Here's some places I love to go. Here's some places I would love to go. Here's some people or pets I love to love. Here's some things I love to be. Because when we think of things to love, we tend to think of people or objects. But there's many ways to look at the way we flow appreciation and gratitude in our lives. And so this worksheet is a way to access some of those things. So let's take about 5 minutes now and work on this worksheet. I put some colored pens out for those of you who like to write in color, and there's lots of regular pens around as well. And take some, just a few moments to think about the things that you love in your life already. And then when we have the worksheets filled out to a little extent, we'll have a discussion one-on-one with some dyads or triads, and then with the larger group after that. So love to all of you in the outside world who are listening. We're going to end the recording now. Thanks.